The story, chapter 26, experts from Mark and Matthew. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. "But not during the festival," they said, "or the people may riot." After the festival, Jesus was brought before Pilate. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "His blood is on us and our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. We began today like they did that week, waving our palm branches and shouting Hosanna, some of us louder than others, right? It's like an impromptu parade. That's how I've always imagined that day. Reading the scriptures, it states that Jesus told the disciples to go and untie a donkey, a colt, one that had never been ridden, and to go to the people. And the people started taking off their cloaks and they laid them down for Jesus. I can picture it in my mind's eye. The awareness of all of those who had gathered, the ones that were there to just get a glimpse, or because they heard the buzz. It caused this ruckus, or at least a commotion, and the people began to cheer. And the palm branches, being what they could reach, they ripped them down and they waved them, giving life and movement and beauty to accompany their voices. They waved them and they cheered, and they cheered, and they cheered. They waved them and they cheered. And then it was done. Some maybe took their branches home and tried to fold them into crosses. But others, I'm sure, just dropped them to the ground. and left them there. It was done. The parade was over. And then Jesus, almost in uncontrollable actions, turned over the tables in the temple and called out those who were taking advantage of others. He stopped the celebration and sat them down and taught them how they were to behave in God's house, something they should have all already known. He taught them how to care for God's people. The first day of the feast, the disciples asked Jesus, "Where are we going to eat our Passover meal?" See, it was time for Passover, this meal of unleavened bread, when the Jewish people would sit together to remember and give thanks for their emancipation from the Egyptian slavery. It was time for the meal, and they needed a place, and they knew that because they were good Jewish boys, men, women, who knew that this was their custom and their practice, and here they were, not where they usually were, and they needed a place. It was time for them to celebrate the greatest series of miracles ever experienced in history. It was a time to remember God and how God had spared the children of Israel by passing over their homes. It was a meal of humility, of humbling oneself before God, of being with others to reflect on the divine energy of God. And Jesus' friends knew that they needed to do this too. So like Jesus told them, they went to this man who shared with them his upper room, his guest space. And they gathered there and they ate in what we now call the Last Supper. And Jesus said, while he was with them, he said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." He told them, "Be on guard, stay alert. You do not know when the time will come. Therefore, keep watch." The arrest of Jesus was imminent and unavoidable, as the chief priests and the teachers of the law were determined to arrest Jesus and to kill him. They just needed to find the right sly way to do it, and they weren't going to do it, as Jessica read, during the feast, as it might cause the people to riot. No one wanted to make a scene, and yet the action was going to be done. Jesus would be killed. He would be hung on a cross for the sake of what? But now it was time for the Seder meal and the 15 steps of retelling the story of Exodus, responding to the four questions, eating of the matzah bread, and recalling that for the sake of their lives they had been saved, that they were allowed to leave Egypt, and they went so fast the bread didn't have time to rise. It was time to eat of the bitter herbs and to re-experience the bitter taste of slavery for just a moment, and to drink of the cup of sweetness, a reminder of freedom. And yet this time, when they ate that meal, it was different. Jesus took the bread, he gave thanks for the bread, he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take it, this is my body." He did likewise with the cup, offering thanks to God, then calling this cup the blood of the covenant, his blood. His blood poured out for them, telling those that he was with that he would never drink of this cup again until he was with God in heaven. Different words, different actions than were usual for this Passover meal. Different energy than that parade just a couple days earlier. And of that scene in the temple. It's from palm branches waving to a passion story. It's the beginning of this passion story of Jesus' life, of his suffering, of his death, of his crucifixion. The next reading, thank you, Jessica, states that after the festival, Jesus was brought before Pilate, the governor, and he found no fault with him. No reason worth prosecution. And so Pilate turned to the people, and he said, "What should I do? What should I do?" And they shouted, those same people who shouted before, they shouted, "Crucify him." Those same voices that said, "Hosanna to the one who comes in the name of the Lord," shouted, "Crucify him. Crucify him." Yes. As loud as the hosannas rang, so did the words, "Crucify him." It gave a deafening cry to let him die, to make him die. According to Scripture, Pilate wanted no part of this, so much so that he even washed his hands in a basin in front of them, spoke his innocence, and said, "If he is to die, it's on you." And yet, it was by his soldiers that Jesus was led to be flogged, to be placed in a scarlet robe, to have a crown of thorns placed on his head, to be mocked and spit on. By his soldiers that Jesus was to be struck down and have his clothes bartered by the casting of lots. Those palm branches were still on the ground, now probably worn from the feet of those who had trampled over them to see what it was that was happening with Jesus. Those branches were now covered with blood, blood that came from the wounds that were made by the hands of those that whipped him with tails full of nails. Those branches were there as a remembrance of what had just happened days ago. The blood on those branches was from the one that came to save the world from their sin and instead experienced a harsh end to his life, or because of experienced that harsh end. This week begins our final journey towards Easter. If you've been holding your branches, you might still smell life. Life plucked from the trees, so we could hold them in our hands today. As we prepare for Easter, this is the week that we are invited to think about Jesus' story. Dear friends, may your meal times this week remind you of the Passover meal that we call the Last Supper. May your discussions remind you of the teachings of Jesus and the words of his disgust and how people were treating God's house and God's people. May your walking remind you of the steps from the courtyard of torture to the hill of Golgotha, where Jesus hung on a cross. May each cry you hear from a crowd remind you that it was not one, but many that Jesus sacrificed for, even if they didn't know it was for them or for you. May your palms remind you of Jesus' passion this day and always.